For decades, the United States has not been in complete control of its borders. As a result, many who want to work in our economy have been able to sneak across our border, and millions have stayed.
President Bush, of course, from his immigration address last night, which is getting roundly jeered from activists on both sides of the immigration debate. The centerpiece of the speech, of course, the new proposal to deploy 6,000 National Guard troops to the Mexican border.
One way to help during this transition is to use the National Guard. So in coordination with governors, up to 6,000 Guard members will be deployed to our southern border. The Border Patrol will remain in the lead. The Guard will assist the Border Patrol by operating surveillance systems, analyzing intelligence, installing fences and vehicle barriers, building patrol roads, and providing training. Guard units will not be involved in direct law enforcement activities. That duty will be done by the Border Patrol. This initial commitment of Guard members would last for a period of 1 year. After that, the number of Guard forces will be reduced as new Border Patrol agents and new technologies come online.
Not widely discussed, these troops will not be permanently stationed there. They will be on 2-week rotations. So what will they be able to accomplish, each of them? I actually thought this was the most nuanced speech I've ever seen President Bush give, acknowledging complexity, acknowledging that there are valid concerns on various sides of the issue and trying to balance them. Maybe in this case, pleasing none of the interest groups is a sign that he's on the right track. But we'll get several views, focusing mostly for today on the question of how to secure the border, how to stop more illegal immigrants from coming in, even if we legalize those already here. People on all sides of the debate say they want that. And we'll hear some more highlights from the speech. My first guest is Bay Buchanan, sister of Pat Buchanan, his campaign manager when he ran for president, and chairman these days of the Team America PAC. Bay, thanks for coming back on WNYC. Welcome.
Sure, Brian. My pleasure to be with you.
What did you think of the president's speech?
Well, I think it was well constructed. He raised issues that he had not addressed before, recognizing the problems that illegal immigration is causing millions of Americans. Very well delivered, no question about that. But the devil's in the details. I think as you pointed out, and the idea of 6,000 National Guards on the border, he said it's a serious problem. We haven't secured our border, but we will secure it. We need to secure it. And then he gives some lame proposal that will not secure the border. If he really believes it should be secured, he, as our commander-in-chief, should defend that border and secure it for the protection of Americans.
He says what the National Guard troops would do is some of the background, in effect, clerical work that would free up the Border Patrol agents to do more Border Patrol. No?
Well, I mean, that's somewhat of the idea, but we do not have the ability with the with our troops there, our Border Patrol there, can do the job. I mean, we're only catching about 1/3 coming across. That suggests to me we need about double or triple the number of guardsmen down there. And so I think if it's a problem, we should not gradually begin to secure our border. I think he should have told the American people, if he is serious about this, 92% of them worry about that border, want it secured. He should say we're going to put enough troops, whether they be National Guardsmen or anything else, on that border so that it is absolutely secure and we get control of the situation. And then we will begin to build the barriers and bring in the technology and train the additional border agents. And they will, and our National Guard will remain there until we have the rest up and ready to go.
What would a sufficient number of troops be? Because, you know, the immigrant advocates cite the stationing of 10,000 Border Patrol agents, I think the number is, around the San Diego area, with basically no effect on the number of people coming illegally from Mexico.
I see. The key is this. It's a combination of things. In California, where it used to be the number one entryway for illegal immigrants, they built a fence. Now, it's not a complete fence. It doesn't go all the way across. In fact, it even has some holes. But it was able to do an enormously effective job because then the agents can go where the other ones are being rushed to. And so you know that this area is fairly secure, and you can handle that with fewer guards. And there's no question, as a result of that fence, the now number one place to come through, of course, is the Tucson area over there in Arizona. And so that fence did the job so that it really, down there, I've been there a couple times, down there now in California on the border, the value of the property on both sides is much, much higher. People are happier, the towns and the Mexican towns as well as the Californian towns. There's not kind of drugs coming through there and traffic coming through there and criminal elements, so that it's a much much better atmosphere for everyone and much easier to control the illegal immigration flow. Of course,
so do you advocate a fence for the entire length of the U.S.-Mexican border?
I would be completely supportive of that. However, the House right now is proposing a 700-mile-wide fence, which would be 700 miles total. And the reason for that, and I support this, I think this is a good place to start, it would choose the routes that the drug runners are using. It would fence off the routes of drug traffickers. And that's a heck of a good place to start. Then driving the illegal traffic to other areas, corridors, which could be much more easily manned by the agents that we have on hand. But your first question, sir, was how many agents? And this is what I say. We are in a crisis in this country. If the president believes, indeed, that this border should be secure, he should back into that number this way. He should go to the experts and say, how many National Guardsmen or military personnel do you need so that we can secure the border in the next 2 to 3 months? How many do you need? And then let's give them that and go from there.
Babe Buchanan, chairman of Team America PAC, my guest on WNYC, will be speaking to a pro-immigrant advocate who is near the Arizona-Mexico border next as we get reaction to President Bush's speech last night on immigration reform. Let me play another clip of the president's speech where he addresses the question of amnesty, which he says his guest worker program is not.
Some in this country argue that the solution is to deport every illegal immigrant and that any proposal short of this amounts to amnesty. I disagree. It is neither wise nor realistic to round up millions of people, many with deep roots in the United States, and send them across the border. There is a rational middle ground between granting an automatic path to citizenship for every illegal immigrant and a program of mass deportation. That middle ground recognizes there are differences between an illegal immigrant who crossed the border recently and someone who has worked here for many years and has a home, a family, and an otherwise clean record. I believe that illegal immigrants who have roots in our country and want to stay should have to pay a meaningful penalty for breaking the law, to pay their taxes, to learn English, and to work in a job for a number of years. People who meet these conditions should be able to apply for citizenship. But approval would not be automatic, and they will have to wait in line behind those who played by the rules and followed the law. What I've just described is not amnesty.
Babe Buchanan, you heard all the reasons President Bush said that is not amnesty. Do you think it is?
Well, clearly it's amnesty. By the very definition of amnesty, that's what it is. When he says they have to wait in line, well, you know the other fellows that are waiting in line? They're waiting in line in Brazil and in Mexico. They're waiting in line in Africa. They're legally applied, and they're waiting in line to get into the country. These guys are living here legally, waiting in line. What do you mean that's not the front of the line? Give me a break. But the key here is the words that the president used in this section showed to me that he is not sincere, that this was a political speech not really based on trying to address this issue in an honest fashion. And this is why I mean that, Brian. He brings up straw men. He said, look at the words he used. Some in this country want to deport every illegal immigrant, want to round them up, mass deportation. I've been in this movement now 15 years. I work with the leaders of this movement. Every single week we meet in Washington to discuss it. I meet with the senators, staff, Congress staff, who are trying to stop this illegal immigration. And not one of them have I heard suggest rounding up or mass deportation.
So what do you
want
to do with
straw man?
What do you want to do with the 11 or 12
million? What this side is exactly what the House of Representatives has done. We want to secure the border. We want to start enforcing the law. We want to make certain that the employers in this country are required to check the legal status, mandatory verification of employees. And what happens then? Then new people are not coming in, okay? New illegals are not coming in. You have this 15 to 20 million that are here now, right? 250,000 go home on their own. 100 to 150,000 get legal status. That will continue. But when they see opportunities start to dry up, many of them will start making plans to go home maybe before they had intended to. And it gives them plenty of time, 2 years before employers have to check people who work for them.
If it's really 15 or 20 million people, others say 11 or 12 million, whatever the number is,
whatever.
How many of those people are actually going to go home?
Well, right now it decreases in 450,000 a year. The problem is new ones are coming, over a million are coming, and so you have an increase of about 750,000 a year. If you stop the increase and you're dropping 450,000 today, then if you put all these this enforcement in, that 450 is going to go to 650, 850, maybe a million people going home on their own, and in 5, 6, 7 years, this problem is taking care of itself. It's called attrition. The attrition. Sure, if you're stopped and picked up for drunk driving, you're not here legally, you go home. We send you home if you get stopped by the law enforcement. But we're not rounding anybody up. We're not mass deportation. We're letting people work out their own circumstances, giving them 2 years before they're even checked if they're working today in companies.
Babe Buchanan, my guest on WNYC for another few minutes. Then we'll talk to an immigration advocate near the Tucson area, near the border there, the Arizona-Mexican border. Babe, the New York Times, which also didn't like the president's speech on its editorial page, but for very different reasons than you,
sure,
had a sarcastic lead to its editorial today, which said in part, "America must send its overtaxed troops to the border right now, they say, so a swarm of ruthless, visa-less workers cannot bury our way of life under a relentless onslaught of hard work," unquote. And what the Times didn't quite say in that sarcastic paragraph was that this is, probably in their opinion, about too many non-white people coming to the U.S. for some folks' comfort level. Now, you talked about drug enforcement, other kinds of crime. Other people on your side of this talk about this being a bulwark against terrorism post 9/11. But do you fear for, quote, the American way of life, as the article puts it, because of immigration from Mexico? And is that not to some degree about race?
No, there's nothing racist about it. We believe that we have a legal means by which to come here. We're the most generous in the world. And there's nobody in my movement that's suggesting that million three that come legally, that somehow they should all come from Europe. Nobody is suggesting that. And so if there's a purpose or a reason, or we think that a higher percentage should come from Mexico or our neighboring countries in Central America, that's a whole nother debate, you know? And I'm not even engaged in that. I've never even suggested it. What I'm saying is there's a rule of law in this country, and we should uphold it. That is one of the basic principles of the nation. Right now, there's chaos. We've just got people who, anyone who wants to come, just comes on in. We don't check them for health. We don't check them for what their purpose of being here, whether they can provide for themselves or not. Right now, one of the policies.
But we care. We have a minute left. We care. We tend to care. People do. About the rule of law when it applies to laws we feel protect us or affect us in some way. So is the issue not for you just too many Mexicans?
Oh, absolutely not. It's too many people here illegally. That's what the problem is. And that rule of law should apply to those white males who are hiring them. You know, let's put a few of them in prison and let them know that, look, it, you can't just break the laws because you want cheap labor. Friend, we are spending, taxpayers are spending billions of dollars a year paying for illegal immigration so that our corporations, those big, fat, rich fellas, can have cheap labor. It's not cheap to the taxpayer. Hospitals are being burdened. Americans are not being able to get the kind of emergency service they should have. We have crime in our streets. 27% of the criminals in the daggone federal prisons are illegal immigrants. We're not checking for health. Their education system is being buried by this enormous number of people who are nowhere near as have the same abilities as our own students. As a result, we're dumbing down our own
school.
We have
to leave it there. Babe Buchanan, sister of Pat, one-time campaign manager for his presidential run, now chairman of Team America PAC. Thank you very much.
Sure, Brian. Good to be with you.
We'll get the other side in a minute.
English is also the key to unlocking the opportunity of America. English allows newcomers to go from picking crops to opening a grocery, from cleaning offices to running offices, from a life of low-paying jobs to a diploma, a career, and a home of their own.
President Bush again from his immigration speech last night as we continue to play highlights and get reactions. We'll take some of your reactions on the phone in a few minutes. You can call us up right now at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Now a couple of very different views from Babe Buchanan's, from Frank Sherry, Executive Director of the National Immigration Forum. He's in Washington. Mr. Sherry, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
And Jennifer Allen, Director of the Border Action Immigration Network, which sounds like it's like the Minutemen, but it's really a pro-immigrant group. She is, right? Is that accurate?
That is accurate. We are not the Minutemen.
And where are you exactly?
I am somewhere between the Arizona-New Mexico state line.
What does the Border Action Network do?
We're a community organization, a human rights group that's based on the Arizona-Sonora border that works with immigrants and border residents to make sure that our human rights are upheld, that our human dignity is protected, and that our communities are safe and healthy places for everyone to live in.
In general, Jennifer Allen, what was your reaction to the president's speech?
Well, I think what we heard was less of a plan that was laid out. It was much more of kind of a scheme of various stopgap measures. I think it showed that, in fact, the president is really not in tune with the basic reality of border communities and the solutions that are needed for border and immigration policies.
So, Frank Sherry, what was your reaction?
Well, I think that this notion of sending the troops to our border, while it seems like he's trying to minimize their actual impact, I think is unnecessary, is contrary to what will actually work in terms of immigration reform. We think that the answer lies in enacting real comprehensive immigration reform that would bring immigration out of the shadows and therefore under the rule of the law, rather than sending troops to the border.
The president says he will free up the same number of Border Patrol agents, about 6,000, as the number of National Guard troops that he's sending to do actual Border Patrol. Jennifer Allen, what do you think about that?
Well, whether we have 5 Border Patrol agents or we have 50,000 Border Patrol agents, the way that the agency has been set up is that it's still going to fail miserably at its tasks unless we have systems of accountability and mechanisms of accountability. Right now, our communities are already riddled with a lot of civil rights violations and human rights violations of U.S. citizens that live along the border. So what we need is for the president to have announced that there was going to be greater accountability within federal law enforcement agencies that are operating on the border. We can have border security in tandem with community security.
But I'm asking you about border security and what will work to stop future people from coming here illegally, and you're telling me immigrants aren't being treated with human rights. So you're answering a different question than I asked.
Well, realistically, what we need is comprehensive immigration reform so that there are not people coming through the desert. No one wants to be entering this country through the desert. From immigrants and Border Patrol don't want people out there. Even the Minutemen don't want people out there.
What would stop people from coming through the desert?
We need a path to permanent residency for the 12 million undocumented that are already here in the country.
Why would that stop people from Why would that stop people from coming through the desert?
A lot of the people that are coming through are family members that are looking to unite with their loved ones. A lot of the folks are workers coming to look for work. They need a way to be able to enter the country through a port of entry, legally, orderly, and with rights.
Here's another clip of the president explaining why, in his view, his deployment of National Guard troops to the border is not militarization of the border.
The United States is not going to militarize the southern border. Mexico is our neighbor and our friend. We will continue to work cooperatively to improve security on both sides of the border, to confront common problems like drug trafficking and crime, and to reduce illegal immigration.
Frank Sherry, your reaction to that?
Well, look, I mean, I actually want to give a little bit of love to President Bush, something I almost never do, because he did stand up for a realistic approach to immigration. See, the problem in Congress, particularly in the House of Representatives, is that they think if you just get tough, you'll stop illegal immigration. We've tried it for 20 years, and it's failed. It's led to lots of illegal immigration, lots of exploitation, death in the border, and lots of chaos. So what he's basically saying is we've got to, you know, walk and chew gum at the same time. And so while he is trying to talk tough and show that he's tough and do this National Guard thing, what he's really doing is saying, let's get real. We have an integrated labor market with Mexico. We have workers and families who are coming to the United States for good purposes, but we have bad laws. And the way to make sure that we know who's here and that they can come legally is to change the laws as well as do enforcement. So I think he's actually trying to explain a rather complex solution to a complex problem. And so I give them some credit for that. I do think that the National Guard, you know, sort of was a political ploy that's gratuitous and will, as Jennifer knows, will actually have a pretty, I think, negative effect on border communities that are already filled with law enforcement officers. But I think that if this leads to the enactment in Congress of something that says more visas and more and a path to citizenship for the folks here combined with enforcement, particularly directed at employers who are hiring people without papers, that combination over time will be a regulatory regime that I think actually has a chance of solving the problem.
So how much do you actually disagree with Bay Buchanan, who was our previous guest? She said, enforce at the employer level. That will stop people from coming here illegally because they'll know they can't work. That will also encourage some of the people who are here illegally now to go home because they won't continue to be able to work. And she also talked about building a fence along much of the border, which she said was very effective where it has been built around California. It moved the flow of people illegally out of that region to the Tucson area. It slowed the flow of drugs, of other kinds of criminals, and that even the towns on the Mexican side of the border are happier as a result because they're not putting up with, you know, people trying to get illegal stuff through in addition to the workers.
Well, there's a huge difference between what Bay Buchanan is advocating and what we're advocating. Bay Buchanan is saying enforcement only, or enforcement first, and then maybe somewhere down the line, which really means enforcement only. We've done enforcement only for 20 years. We've had border barriers. We've had more agents. We've had raids in local communities. And what we've also had simultaneously is the biggest increase in illegal immigration in our nation's history. Obviously, the failed enforcement only policies of the last 20 years, we need to just be honest about it and say, look, one of the ways to deal with illegal immigration is more enforcement, but what the president was saying, and this was the key line for me, is that you can't do it with enforcement only. You actually have, the best way to reduce illegal immigration is to increase legal immigration. And by combining targeted enforcement with increased legality, we will actually be able to combine carrots and sticks in a way that we will bring immigration under the rule of law. Look,
half the flow is illegal
right now, and if we do this right, we can get that illegal flow to less than 5%, which is better for everyone.
So I'm still looking for points of agreement. Do you and Bay Buchanan agree that the main focus of enforcement needs to be on employers?
Yes.
And so how would you do that in a meaningful way? Because that was supposed to be the focus in the 1986 immigration reform, and it was never really enforced.
Yeah, it wasn't done well, and I think we're in a much different posture now as a society. In order to have a, whether it's a credit card swipe system or a internet-based employment verification system, but it'll only work if you bring the 11 million people here who are in the United States without documents out of the shadows. It'll only work if you have enough visas for the future flow of needed workers and close families. If you do the employer enforcement on top of 11 to 12 million people here illegally, you will have tremendous chaos in the workforce and in local communities. That's why you have to do both if you're going to be successful at either.
Let's take a phone call. Jim in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hello, Jim.
Hi, how are you? I really wish someone would talk about how illegal immigration is, among other things, a safety valve for the very corrupt, very unequal, and in their own ways, very racist societies of Latin America. I think illegal immigration allows them to maintain their own corrupt and racist societies by dumping their lower classes into the United States, and someone really needs to talk about that.
Jennifer Allen, will you address that?
Well, I think that the face of the folks that are coming across the border can't necessarily be characterized just as standardly as based upon on professionalization or a working skill level. I mean, there's folks coming from all sorts of classes that are coming across the border.
May I disagree with that?
Generalize so simply.
May I disagree with that?
Go ahead, Jim.
When New York knows that the majority of, for instance, Mexican migrants, overwhelmingly from the indigenous communities, the Indians, who have no opportunity in their own society because of the way it's set up. And someone needs to talk about that.
Right. Well, what, Jennifer, do you think Mexico's role is in this, if any?
I mean, clearly the Mexican government needs to take responsibility as well for greater economic development and for taking on a much better role in terms of standing up to trade agreements such as NAFTA or the Free Trade Area of the Americas, and standing up to other corporate interests that are reshaping economic policies so that sustainability, economic sustainability, becomes close to impossible for a lot of the smaller towns and smaller communities that are having this impact or feeling the push effect to leave.
I feel like I hear two arguments from immigration advocates that are somewhat contradictory. You say enforcement won't stop people who are desperate to come here for work, but you also fear militarizing the border because that would stop more people who you sympathize with who are trying to come for work. Do you say both of those things, Jennifer?
No. I mean, actually, people would like to stay in Mexico. I mean, we're not encouraging immigration. In fact, people have the right to be able to stay where they are. People have a right to mobility, yes, and that is something that we support. However, people would like to be able to go home. And also the fact is that as the border has become more militarized and turned into this labyrinth, almost like a war zone of sorts, a lot of people feel somewhat trapped in the U.S. and that they don't go back home and sort of use a migratory cycle that people used to participate in. So it's very much that people would want to stay in Mexico. They would want to stay where their family is. They would want to stay in the communities that they know and that they love. And we support that, and people should be able to do that. And so then the responsibility is both within the Mexican government as well as the U.S. government and the economic trade policies that we push and that we benefit from, as well as from the Mexican government benefiting.
So, Frank Sherry, what do you say the Mexican government's role in this is?
Well, I think it has to do much more than it is doing. I mean, what I envision and is that if Congress passes a good, strong, comprehensive bill, it's going to have unprecedented enforcement, and it's going to have much wider legal channels, both for the folks already here and those who are coming in the future to fill jobs. At that point, Mexico is going to say, we want the lion's share of the new visas that are being made available because currently more than 50% of the flow comes from Mexico. And quite frankly, those visas are going to come with a lot of conditions, and Mexico is going to have to help much more with respect to public education and cracking down on smugglers, working on its southern border and things like that, and of course directing economic development at sending regions. There's no question that over the next 25 years, the real solution is in reducing migration pressures. In the meantime, you know, immigrants are going to continue to come here, and the question is, can you have enough visas combined with the right kinds of enforcement, not walls and troops, but professional, accountable border patrolmen, and more importantly, a more effective worker verification system in the workplace, plus legal visas. See, this is the problem, Brian, is that the old debate is, you know, are you for more enforcement or are you for better treatment of immigrants? And the answer is yes. We need both if we're going to really solve this problem. And while President Bush has kind of a conservative-leaning approach to it that, you know, I don't think is going to work as well as, say, the proposals before the Senate from John McCain and Ted Kennedy, the idea of comprehensive reform in which you combine both carrots and sticks in the right balance is a far better approach than simply doing what Babe Buchanan wants, which is to crack down and drive it further underground, and which the smugglers and the unscrupulous employers benefit.
My guests on WNYC, Frank Sherry, Executive Director of the National Immigration Forum, and Jennifer Allen from somewhere near the Arizona-Mexico border, Director of the Border Action Network, which works for human rights for immigrants. We heard earlier from Babe Buchanan and Chickie in Manhattan here on WNYC. Hello, Chickie.
Hi. Good morning. How are you?
Okay.
Just a couple of comments about the population that's coming in. I'll take my answers off the air. I think that part of what we're seeing is a fear of reverse colonization. In other words, all these border states used to be part of Mexico, and it's sort of encroachment in that respect. The other thing, comment that I have is, by and large, these are large families, so that the large families will be taxpayers and wage earners. And where do we think that the future safety of Social Security is going to be funded from? So those were my two observations about sort of background about this. And these are two ideas that I haven't heard any group express.
Anybody want to react to that?
Well, to talk about Social Security, it is, you know, there's this sort of widespread myth that immigrants come and they all work off the books. In fact, many immigrants have documents. They may be fake documents, but in fact they are paying Social Security taxes. And the last estimate from the Social Security Administration of what they call their suspense file, this is money where they can't attribute it to a number and a person, is over $500 billion. This is taxes paid by immigrants, most of them undocumented, going into the Social Security account, and quite frankly, without a corresponding, you know, legitimate number and name. So immigrants are contributing mightily, and that is the demographic reality that the country is facing. We have fewer native-born workers, and they tend to be better educated. We have a lot of service sector and agricultural jobs that need filling, and that is the dynamic that has created illegal immigration.
And yet that's a lot of the pressure, not so much in New York, but from people in certain border towns in the Southwest, where there's just so much immigration and so much uncontrolled illegal immigration that there's a tremendous burden on local services, and that's a lot of the impetus for this, isn't it?
I think that there's somewhat of a misnomer. I have to sort of clarify that there isn't whether in the Southwest or anywhere across the country, the motive is not to kind of reconquer the region. It's much more that the message that our communities want to get out is a message of integration, that people want to be part of this country, and hence the call for permanent residency. The sort of a common message that our communities have been talking about is that, you know, work is permanent, contributions are permanent, and residency should be permanent as well. But it's much more of a will to be able to participate in the democratic processes.
The whole idea of the Minutemen, I think maybe we'll do an open phones on this later, is kind of an offensive notion, naming the group that, because the original Minutemen were, you know, protecting the Americans against the British colonizers who were, you know, the oppressive king of England. It's so different to try to protect the border against poor people who are coming here to work, that to take the same name, the Minuteman, I think it's offensive. But Jorge in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. We have 30 seconds for you.
Thank you. I just want to, my comment is that I think that Mexico and the United States have to redefine their relationship. A big part of this is that Mexico is the biggest economic partner of the United States, and they have to start being treated as such. You cannot ask the Mexican government to put money into their border when they don't have enough money to finance basic needs of the people. So there needs to be a better economic relation.
Jorge, I'm going
to
give
migration to flow to stop.
I'm going to give you the last word, Jorge, but we have 15 seconds. What do you say to the previous caller, Jim, who said they have to stop the corruption, they have to improve their economic opportunities in Mexico, and that's the big deal? All right, I think we've lost Jorge, and so we're out of time anyway. So let me thank Jennifer Allen, director of the Border Action Network, and Frank Sherry, executive director of the National Immigration Forum, for having this discussion. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Brian
Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, we'll meet the new New York City Council Education Committee chairman. We'll talk about cell phones in schools, among other things, with Robert Jackson. Stay tuned.